Today's scripture reading is from Luke chapter 11, verses 33 to 36. If you need a Bible, can you please put your hands up and one of your ushers will bring you a Bible. Again, that's Luke chapter 11, verses 33 to 36. No one lights a lamp and puts it in a bowl where it will be hidden, or under a bowl. Instead, he puts it on its stand so that those who come in may see the light. Your eye is the lamp of your body. When your eyes are good, your whole body also is full of light. But when they are bad, your body also is full of darkness. See to it, then, that the light within you is not darkness. Therefore, if your whole body is full of light and no part of it dark, it will be completely lighted, as when the light of the lamp shines on you. Word of the Lord.
What our eyes see influences us greatly. Just think of that statement. What you see and what I see influence or affects the way we think. And the way we think influences, ultimately, the way we live our lives. A common definition of what we call perception, you know, in a sense, how we receive information from through our senses, is attitude or understanding based on what is observed or thought. And in short, it's like impression. We get first impressions of people by what we see of them, what we hear about them, how we observe them. And we get longer impressions the more we know them. But we're gaining that information by what we see. And the information that we acquire from the interpretation of what we receive in our senses then either alters our thinking or maybe fortifies what we already think. However, the process could be done in reverse. So in a sense that what we see influences what we think, but also, almost as much so, what we think influences how we interpret what we see. So, for example, is if I see something that is shocking to me, then it's because it doesn't quite fit with my values or my belief system in some way. And so I am shocked that that could happen. So I'm perceiving it through what I already think. And it has this effect on me. Today we're going to be looking at what our eyes see. And when that conflicts with our Christian belief and our values as followers of Jesus Christ. And how does that affect us? How does that affect us? So since our focus is on images or pictures, let's look at a few images right now. And Deborah's going to throw those up for us. And just take a look at these just for a short time. Okay, now while you guys were watching those images displayed, I was watching your reactions to see what your reactions of what you saw. And some images brought smiles to you. A lot of them brought blank looks. You didn't know what was going on, I guess. Some brought a little laughter. Others brought a little surprise. But these images had different effects on you, or maybe no effect at all, as the blank stare. You know, TV and our news uses a lot of images because they know that communicates powerfully. It's necessary to have images in the news that they tell. For example, the journalist James Foley, who I just prayed for his family, who was beheaded recently, a journalist working, I think, from a news agency either in England, I think it's in England, could be wrong on that. Even a video of him being beheaded was posted on YouTube just for a short time before YouTube took it off because of its graphic nature, being too graphic to keep on there. But these kind of pictures that have obviously influenced or affect the citizens of the United States, because James Foley was a citizen of the U.S., and also all over the world, those kind of images are disturbing to most people, and it affects us. It horrifies us. We have that kind of reaction, and that's exactly why we call terrorists that way, because they try to evoke a terror in us by what they do, cause fear in us. See, what our eyes see can lead to shock, can lead to anger, can lead to happiness. Have you ever experienced that when you see something and it just makes you giggle or laugh? It can lead to all kinds of different emotions because of how we are perceiving and how we're understanding what that image or that situation or whatever it is we observe is happening and how we process that in our mind. So it's the undeniable fact is that images influence people. What we see with our eyes influences us. And there's this old saying that a picture is worth a thousand words. Have you ever heard of that? There's even an old song, I think, by the group Bread. Does anybody know the group Bread? Norman, do you know Bread? No. I think so. Yeah, I'm old. Yeah. It's a great, if you don't, check it out. They have some really nice soft rock, I guess you call it. They have a song that's about this, using this phrase. Well, this saying actually comes from a little-known Chinese proverb, believe it or not, which literally means a picture's meaning can express 10,000 words. And the point is that pictures or images can communicate concepts, they can communicate emotions, they can communicate situations, and also ideas all at once. And it takes a lot of words to explain all this, but in a picture, you can communicate that, or most of that, in an instant. But if we were to explain it, it would take so many words. So it's so true that a picture is worth 1,000 words. And that's why we are moved by the images we see in life. Pictures can be powerful motivators. If you want to raise money for the children that are starving somewhere in the world, what kind of pictures do they put up for us to motivate us, right? The children who are starving. We see little children who are very malnourished. And that's the kind of pictures that move us. But they can also be twisted not to represent the truth. We had lived near one of our neighbors in Freehold used to work at a photo place. And people would ask her to take their wedding pictures and remove certain people or add people who are dead. And it was just kind of creepy to hear about it, you know, like... Yeah, this guy came to my wedding, you know, they say to her, and he wasn't invited, or I didn't like him there, he just irritated me. So they have her remove them from their wedding pictures. I thought, wow, that's twisted from the truth. It's not actually what happened. You know, well, twisted images can damage us because when we watch them and see them, they have the ability to do so. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 20 says this, "Death and destruction are never satisfied, and neither are the eyes of man." So were death and destruction a part of God's original creation? Were they? No, they were not. They were never intended to be a part of God's original creation. They were not. And because they came by the fact that man and woman rebelled against God and His commands. This is in the book of Genesis. And death and destruction, here we see in this verse, are never satisfied. They keep claiming victims. The wages of sin is death. That's what the scriptures teach. It is because of sin that death entered into the world. I mean, for example, Cain, in the story of Genesis, talks about Cain who destroyed or killed his brother Abel because of his sinful jealousy of Abel. And yet, death and destruction do not bring satisfaction. After he killed Abel, He was not satisfied. He was actually condemned by God for what he did and cast out of that community. It doesn't bring satisfaction. It only brings more death and destruction. So as we see in today's lifetime now, violence breeds violence. We can see that. You look around the world, what's happening in the Middle East or in Africa, South America. You pick a continent, it's happening there. Violence breeds violence. Death breeds death. That is what we're used to now in history. Death and destruction are twisted images of God's original plan of life that is eternal. God originally created his creation with eternal life. And yet, now, because of sin, death has entered in and destruction. That is how God first created the world and why Jesus now had to come and die for us to bring this life eternal so that we can experience that through faith in him for those who follow him. Because otherwise, we're just going to die, and that's simply it. Right? Death and destruction is all a part of what our experience is now. But because of Christ, we now can have life eternal in him. The point of Proverbs 27:20 is this: our eyes are never satisfied if our hearts are twisted. Our eyes will never be satisfied if our hearts are twisted. And the Word of God says that we are born now with twisted hearts. We come out of our mother's womb with a heart that is twisted. And so we look and accept things that are twisted, even though they're not the absolute truth that God has put down in his Word that we can believe in. Our hearts are bent to be self-centered, not God-centered. Our hearts are bent to be focused on ourself only and what we like and what we want to do, what we want to be, and without considering what God may have for us. And this all started in the beginning of creation when the first twisted image was presented to Eve, the first woman. Eve was deceived to believe that the fruit that God had forbidden, that God had said was bad, she was led to believe that it was tasty and good and pleasant to the eye. Listen to what Genesis chapter 3, verse 6 says. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. The image that the evil one had twisted was this forbidden fruit that God had said, do not eat of this tree. He had taken the forbidden fruit and he had twisted it to make it the favorable fruit. And so Eve ate of it, and then also Adam ate of the fruit. Eve disobeyed the Lord God, and thus sin and rebellion against God because of Adam and Eve's sin of eating that fruit entered the world and then therefore the heart of every single human being since them. All the people that came from Adam and Eve, which is all of us. We all bear that twisted heart now. And death and destruction has become a reality of our existence, unfortunately. So today, this is exactly the same strategy that the evil one uses with you and me. He takes what is true and he twists it. Or he takes what is bad and he twists it to look good. For example, I grew up thinking vampires were bad, right? But think of how many things today we have stories and things of that vampires are good, actually, right? They're good people. I mean, they just got to eat blood. You know, that's all. They're just good people. They live forever. You know, it's just a fictional thing, I understand. But there's this change of shift. What became horror is now acceptable and lighthearted. While dealing with fiction, the same thing happens in how the evil one tries to twist things to either like the bad good or the good bad. And listen to Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. It speaks about this. The prophet Isaiah wrote there, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." And this is exactly what the evil one hopes to do with you and me, is that he wants us with our eyes to see things and accept them as truth, even though they're twisted and they're not right. They're bad, according to the Word of God. Take sex, for example. having sex today is seen as a fun activity without much, if any, commitment at all. Maybe short-term commitment, right? Until you just don't like each other, then you go on to the next person. But that's twisted from what God has presented in the sense that sex is supposed to be within the confines of a lifelong marriage covenant. That's the truth. That's the beauty and the fulfillment of satisfaction through sex is in a lifelong marriage covenant. But the evil one has slowly twisted and successfully twisted that so cultural just thinks that, yeah, it's just a fun activity. You want to have fun? Let's have sex. That is a twisted. So he's taken something good and made it bad in that way. Mel Gibson, for example, put a lot of thought when in his movie for the character of Satan, The Passion of Christ, that movie. I don't know if you've ever seen it. It's always good to watch that around Easter time. It's about that last time period of Christ's life before when he was crucified. And he wanted to show Satan as a person or the character who is full of these confusing, twisted images. Meaning, like, you could take it to mean this thing or it could mean this thing. You weren't sure because it was kind of like this odd, confusing image for this character. And so the actor who acted in this role, Rosalinda Celentano, played the role of Satan and was made up to look like she could either be a man or a woman. It was hard to tell. When we watched it first, I thought she was a man that played that role. But then as I read about it, I was like, oh, he was actually a she because it was just confusing. And then the voice of Satan was dubbed over with a man's voice. And there's one part, you see her there, kind of hard to tell. There's one part in the movie where Satan is carrying this little baby, and the baby has the face of an old man. It's creepy, and the skin of this child is sickly and ugly, and you can see him there. It just throws you in the movie. It just gives you shivers, you know, as you're watching, because it just doesn't fit with what you see as should be. It's this twisted images represent the character of Satan, the father of lies, as the scriptures call him. If you and I are not careful about what our eyes see regularly in life, as we live life, we may be viewing and accepting some twisted images. Things that look attractive and exciting to us that are not good to make a habit of viewing. So and it may even get to the point where we desire more of that stuff. Because twisted images lead to twisted hearts. Jesus spoke of this in our text in Luke chapter 11, verses 33 through 36. Now, listening to this, let's read this again. It says there, "No one lights a lamp and puts it in a place where it will be hidden, or under a bowl. Instead, he puts it on its stand so that those who come in may see the light. Your eye is the lamp of your body. When your eyes are good, your whole body is also full of light. But when they are bad, your body is also full of darkness. See to it, then, that the light within you is not darkness. Therefore, if your whole body is full of light, and no part of it dark, it will be completely lighted, as when the light of a lamp shines on you." Now, it's confusing here to think of our eyes as a lamp for the body. But if you read, as you read through this whole these verses here, it's not like the eyes are referred to as a lamp like a flashlight that gives off light, or a lamp like the lights on the ceiling there. No, it's more like our eyes are like the windows into our bodies. So that is where the light comes through. So it's like they're a lamp to our inside because the light is coming through into us. That's the image here. It's almost like a window. We open it and shut it, but it's where the light comes in. And so if what comes in is light, then that provides light. The body is full of light. If we only let in darkness, then our body is full of darkness, which stands for like the twisted images and lies. And so it really depends on what we look at. What our eyes see is what comes in to our body. And it's up to us to choose what to let in and what to keep out. Now, images influence us especially if we continue to expose ourselves to them. And some things we can't help but see because we don't know they're coming, and all of a sudden there they are. So we deal with it. But we're talking here about things that we seek out, things that we continually, habitually put ourselves to watching. And that would influence us and twist us. If they are twisted images not representing biblical values, then they will influence us in a bad way. For example, about 10 years ago, lawmakers in the state of Oklahoma made a law that prohibited what they referred to as dirty driving. Anybody ever hear that law, dirty driving? It's kind of spread throughout. Different states have adopted similar laws. And it all came about because there was a lot of reports that were made from parents with small children while driving with them in the car. They saw pornographic movies that were being played in adjacent cars on their little screens that would flop down. Pornographic movies. So if they saw them, naturally their kids are like looking over there going, "Wow, look at that," you know. And they're just exposed to these images. And so these parents and more parents were talking to lawmakers, and so the lawmakers they made a law against dirty driving. That's what they came up with. Because most adults realize that our children should not be exposed to those kind of images, right? It's like across the board. Everybody's like, yeah, of course not. But then we think, well, what about adults? It's okay for adults to be exposed to those, right? But the kids, we don't want the kids because they're forming, you know. You can be all twisted when you're an adult. But, you know, as a kid, you don't want to be twisted. Give them a chance to at least go up right, and then we'll let them be twisted. So that's okay, you know. But so they made this law against dirty driving. It twists our hearts, we acknowledge, when we see things that are twisted, degrading, devaluing of life or a person's individuality or their uniqueness. It will affect us. It changes us. And in this sense, with these pornographic movies, it degrades what God's hope and plan for us in the sexuality he's given us. It's not the truth God intended for us. So the point Jesus is making in Luke chapter 11, verses 33 through 36, about the light, the eyes being the light of the body, the lamp of the body, is this, is that what our eyes see influences the condition of our hearts. What our eyes see influences the condition of our hearts. And this is so true. For example, I am a wimp when it comes to needles. I don't know if any of you are either, but I've been married for 20 years, and May can attest. She's always like, whenever we're going to do a physical exam, which I do once a year at least, I got to give blood at that. I don't give it like in the bags. You know, they take it from me. It's not like, hey, I want to give blood. No. They take it from me. And so what would happen often is that every time they poke me in the arm and they start taking the blood, I'm okay for the first 10 seconds. But once I start thinking about it and looking at it, I just get, I can't, you know, I'm going to pass out. And I hear it's all psychological. It's not like they're draining all that blood so quick I'm going to pass out. But it's just the way I am. I can't handle it. So what I've learned over the years is that I have to look at something else and think about something else, focus on something else with my eyes so that I am not focused on what's happening there. And when I do that, it's okay. It's really hard, though, if the person taking my blood is very bad at it and they keep poking and hurting and, you know, my attention is drawn back to my arm and I have a hard time with that. But most of the time, it's okay. But what's happened is now after I've had a physical and I'm getting older and it's happened many times now, I've gotten kind of used to having my blood taken, and I'm pretty good now at not focusing on my arm. And so I've gotten used to being poked with the needle. And so it rarely happens now that I get woozy. Or if I start to feel it coming on, I'll strike up a conversation with whoever's taking my blood or whatever. We'll start talking about something else and it'll go away. But I've gotten used to it. And the same thing applies to the images we see, is that if they're negative and they're bad and they're twisted, and we continue to expose ourselves to them, we will get used to them. Even though they're not good, we'll get used to them. We'll get insensitive to them. And this is very dangerous for our hearts if what our eyes see is based on truth distorted. And yet we get used to it. We will even sometimes desire more of it because it incites some kind of excitement or false pleasure or something like that. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 19 describes this behavior. Listen to what it says there. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. This is our sinful nature overtaking us. It's the battle we all have within, right? The battle between the redeemed nature of Christ Himself and His Spirit and the sinful nature that wants to just focus on our own needs, do what we want, when we want, whenever we want to do it. And there's that battle within us. Images can become like idols, especially when we obsess over them. And when we are dependent on certain images to excite us and entertain us, or whatever it may be, then we are almost, in a sense, idolizing them. For example, video and computer games provide great entertainment to many people today, but they also provide powerful images for us to watch. And I'm amazed at how the graphics are today. It's like we're watching a movie almost now, even though these characters are computer generated. They're not real actors. They're just generated, made up. But the games have come from when I started playing video games. You guys know Pac-Man? There, you know, the little yellow circle that goes and eats up all the dots as much as it can around this maze until those little ghost guys come and catch you or corner you, and then you're dead. It comes from that to these games that are now really accurate graphic hand-to-hand combat, whether it's kung fu and you can shoot the lightning or whatever out of your room, do these twirling kicks, or the the war games where you're going around with your crew and you're shooting and beating up the bad guys to the point where you, even when you're killing the bad guys, you hear them grunt, you hear the noises of things going into them and the blood splurting and all that. It's very, very graphic. What our eyes see affect our hearts. They affect us in ways that we need to evaluate what we are allowing through our eyes. So are the video games we play and the shows that we watch regularly on TV or the movies we expose ourselves to, are they upholding the values that we believe in as followers of Christ? It doesn't mean that they have to uphold every single thing because it's of the world. We have to remove ourselves from the world if we can only see things that agree with what we believe in. But if we're regularly seeking these things out, especially for entertainment, then we're almost allowing these things to come into our heart again and again and again. And it's that darkness that comes into our heart. And we become dark. We may become pessimistic. Or even worse, we become insensitive to these things that are twisted. And we don't even identify them. Or we just say, well, yeah, that's just the way it is. Where are our hearts? Because twisted images lead to twisted hearts. That's the warning here. And the scriptures, though, thankfully, guide us in what we should do instead. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 says, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." And in this specific case, we could apply this to images instead of thinking about such things. We should look at such things, focus our eyes on such things, seek after such things. Most videos, DVDs are so common today that the images that Hollywood has produced over the past 80 years is easily available. Right? We can almost access anything that Hollywood has made up the last 80 years. And many of these movies present images that are very twisted from God's truth. But many others are also based on basic principles, or they touch on, or they illustrate aspects of things that are good and right and true, and uphold those. So it's a matter of how do we sort this out? And as we watch, do we evaluate or do we just accept and be entertained? If we're selective, we can find high-quality popular culture that deals with profound moral dilemmas in ways that are upholding the biblical values that we as followers of Christ hold. And even if the themes or the stories themselves are not blatantly Christian, you know, like Jesus may not even be mentioned once in the movie, or maybe in a way that is not honoring to him, you know, as a swear word, but the movie itself does uphold these qualities that the scriptures hold dear as true. Example of this, Steven Spielberg's movie Saving Private Ryan. Anybody seen that? It's very graphic. But it's a movie that in many ways evokes a sense of gratitude for those watching because of the bloody sacrifice of all those who gave their lives. And many of us who are still alive today, it's of our parents or our grandparents who sacrificed themselves to fight evil in the world. And so they were willing to do that. And so it upholds an honor of courage, of value and honor. And that's a movie worth watching, I'd say, though you'd have to have a pretty strong stomach. It's very graphic. Spielberg, another Spielberg movie is Schindler's List. Anybody seen that one? These are all dated, but Schindler's List, again, focusing on World War II, reminds us of the reality of evil in the world that comes and exists and the need to resist it. Now, Schindler's List, if you haven't seen it, he doesn't resist it through weapons and violence, but he resists it. I'm not going to tell you how. It's a true story. So watch it and find out. Another movie, Dead Men Walking. And by the way, I'm not saying The Walking Dead. Okay, it's Dead Man Walking. It's a powerful portrayal of Christian love and repentance, if you want to watch a movie about that. Mel Gibson started his own film company called Icon Productions, and he did this simply because he wanted to present movies that showed the Christian perspective of love and honor and courage. And so he started producing these movies. And one of their successful movies you've probably heard of is Braveheart, which he is the main character, Mel Gibson. And the script of that movie was written by Randall Wallace, a former Duke Divinity School student, who decided that he thought he could have a greater impact on telling stories and giving a message to society about these values than from the pulpit, like I'm doing right now. He's got a bigger platform in that sense. So if we look at and evaluate our lives, we can find images in our culture that do uphold biblical principles, the honor that can we can see in people, the good that can be done by helping and showing compassion, by people giving sacrificially. We can find that, and we should pursue that and honor those things and support those things as much as we can, because those things we know because they come from what the scriptures hold dear. They're all like tastes of the divine nature of God, in a sense. And so that is what we are to be about. Rather than giving our money and our time to watching dark, twisted images, especially just to be entertained, it's just going to affect us in a bad way and not honor the Lord God. Hebrews 12:2 is one of my life verses. And I memorize this verse and I focus on this because it reminds me time and time again of where I am to fix my eyes. It's very practical. And the verse says, "Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, and who, for the joy set before him." Now I forgot the verses, I'm looking at you. "Who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." The first part of that is what really grips me, is fix our eyes on Jesus. What do our eyes see? Well, if we are constantly pursuing Christ, then we fix our eyes on the things that Christ has revealed to us about himself, which is his word. Fix our eyes on the character and values that Jesus has told us about and modeled to us, which we know of through the word. And fix our eyes on Jesus because he is the Lord. He is the author of life. He is the one who brings eternal life for those of us who follow him. He's the only one who can do that. And so by fixing our eyes on Jesus, then we not only experience that life, but also we experience abundant life and eternal life as well as we connect ourselves with the Lord God himself. So, brothers and sisters, and myself included, be careful of what you watch out there. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word again, and we are a people that are barraged with images every day. And there's no way for us to shut them out in a sense. But Lord, we pray that when we do have choices of what we watch and what we see, Lord, that we would be mindful of what we choose to allow into our hearts and into our eyes. And Lord, with the things that we do see that are twisted, the things that we're exposed to, Lord, may we have a heart full of your Spirit to evaluate what is good and what is not. Not to be legalistic about these things, but Lord, to be mindful of what your truth says and following your Spirit's guide as we do allow things into our eyes. Lord, may we be always honorable in the way that we live, so that we can be witnesses to you. In the name and the authority of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.